This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
To the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I know what you better be doing out there today. It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, the beginning of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I don't know why I'm saying that so jubilantly or with such jovial tones, because breast cancer actually sucks, right? And so we wish to say to breast cancer that you suck. Notwithstanding that, though, Levin loves breasts. And so I care about all of you people out there with breasts, and I want to let you know that I am out here willing to support you and your breasts at all costs. And so I'm wearing my pink shirt today because I want to make sure that people know of my undying love for the support of breasts. So to everyone out there with a pair of breasts today, whenever you see me, you just know that I am standing in your corner, all right? You and I are one, because you love your breasts, and I love your breasts, and I want them to be happy and wholesome and healthy as we go through what is known as Breast Cancer Awareness Month. If you know survivors of breast cancer, my grandmother, she was actually a survivor, and then that kind of turned into some other things. But if you know someone that may need to go and get their breast check, right? Don't send them to me because I don't really know where you go. But send them to the Cancer Society and see if we could get them some help over there as we continue racing for the cure against breast cancer and all other cancers, because all cancers suck. I don't know what's the problem with them or where they come from, but they pretty much suck. All right? Anyway, it's Friday. Bim, the people tired awaken. Ba-dum. I'm going to be joining the studio this morning. Let me say this, right? The Royal Bahamas Defense Force is embarrassing me at this point. I'm embarrassed at this point. Let me say that Bravo Zulu is my thought automatically to the men and women that have been out there apprehending. Let me also say to the senior command, I hope that we have a contingency plan in place for when soldiers start to defect, because they will. There is no way we could continue apprehending 1,000 people every single week, and not one of your soldiers either get COVID, and I think COVID is the small one, because let's not forget that malaria has always been a very serious thing coming out of that region, particularly with those set of migrants, all right? While we are apprehending those migrants, and I say we because, you know, the Defense Force is the first girl that ever kissed me, and so I love her forever, and I can never let her go, right? And so, yes, their business is my business, and although I'm sure it sometimes peeves the command that I won't shut up in the airwaves about it, oh well, abduct me, you know, That's the easiest way to get rid of me. But, I mean, we've got to make it look neater than this, right? I want to also say that the government of the Bahamas, the Progressive Liberal Party, its Minister of Immigration, the Honorable Keith Bell, and its Minister of National Security, the Honorable Wayne Munro, won't get away with continuing to not have a forward plan. I also think Mr. Fred Mitchell is lacking. It has been 10 days now. I've not heard a single utterance from the ambassador from Haiti. The Haitian one, that is. I've heard people blame Luby Georges, a private citizen. I've heard people blame the Haitian pastors, ask the Haitian pastors to talk. I've heard a statement from Luby Georges, a private citizen, as far as CNN, as a matter of fact. Luby make the big leagues. But I hear nothing from this Haitian embassy yet. Not a can of tuna, not a bag of grits, nothing. Nothing from them yet. And equally, right, the Bahamas government has had its Haitian ambassador non-resident for about 18 months now. The question becomes, how are we gathering information? How are we working on diplomatic ties to ensure that we know who these people are, we know when they will be returned, we're able to get documents when they return, because they don't have any here, we're able to have a smooth liaison between their country and our country to see if we can amicably reach this a resolution on this matter. My advisors tell me that there are two Defense Force Marines that are attached to the office of His Excellency. But the question is, what exactly are they doing there? Because if His Excellency is in there, then what exactly is their function? And how exactly do we govern their function? Of what benefit is that to the Bahamian government or the Bahamian people? No one knows. And so I argue that the Bahamian ambassador to Haiti, by now, should have been on the ground. And if he isn't on the ground in Haiti, all right, this is obviously a diplomatic kerfuffle. This man should have been tied to the hip of the Minister of Immigration by this point. Yet no word from him. Again, no word from the Haitian government. No word. I see that the captain of the Southern Command only just reached there this morning. What are we doing? Is this, are we seriously running a military? Are we seriously attending to foreign affairs issues? Are we seriously addressing the immigration issue? How is it that the captain and commander of the Southern Command is only now, 10 days later, telling me, boy, these are some high-powered vessels they got here. Some of them got one engine, some got two. Well, Skipper, where were you all along? Why are you just, where did you come from? How is it? We have called, I've seen everyone. Clarence Russell is back. Everybody. This, gentlemen, is not a circus we are running. It is a country, and we have to ensure that, yes, things will happen that are not necessarily in line with what ordinarily happens. But we are making this look like this is something so difficult. Yes, this is probably the largest repatriation exercise that we have conducted in short form in a long period of time. But we have been repatriating immigrants from as long as the Bahamas had sand on the beach. I don't understand. Why are we making such a big hoo-ha about this? What needs to happen is you all need to decide, because I understand that the tenure or active state of the ambassador to Haiti, the Bahamian one that is in limbo. The man was appointed, never took residency. The Haitian prime minister, president was killed. They advised him not to travel under those conditions. The government changed. Like all other political appointments, I imagine he tendered a resignation. There is now, though, chaos afoot. Is the man going to substantively be the ambassador? Yes or no? If the answer to that is yes, then give him his instruments and put him on a plate to Haiti if you have to. But let's get him on the ground. If he's not going to be, fantastic. Grab his instruments of appointment. Push him in a broom closet somewhere. Give the instruments to someone else and put them on a plate to Haiti. But the fact remains, we cannot continue to allow this gaping hole to come out of Haiti unchecked. With Bahamian civil servants on the ground, not appraising an ambassador who is then not appraising its government. That's why they... And the only answer, Mr. Keith Bell, see, because you all fellas that never sail like to say silly things about fellas that do sail. A blockade in the Windward Passage can't be the answer because that translates into punishment. The Windward Passage is probably one of the most treacherous pieces of ocean out there. This is a hurricane season. The weather is never good down there. And so what you want people to do? Just anchor out to sea in the middle of nowhere and bunks up and down for 21 and 28 days? That cannot be the answer. Y'all got $70 million worth of drones. Or allegedly. So what is the plan? Because the plan can't be to punish Marines. That can't be the plan. And so that's just some things that are coming out of my head this morning. I don't know why this looks so hodgepodge. I want to say it's not a good look, Mr. Monroe, Mr. Bell, or Mr. Mitchell. By now, we should have figured this out. It's been a week and some change. Where are we on it? And why we keep calling one bunch of dudes and there has been not even a whisper from the diplomatic corps that involves the shenanigans here. That's where I stand on it. Anyway, to talk about these kinds of things and other national issues, I brought me a national contributor and a commentator here on Unleashed with Cleaver Miller. Cleaver Dongam, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, sir. Good morning, Bahamas. You know, before you speak, Levon, I just want to offer some condolences. Just a brief condolence to Crispin Trevor Francis. Mm-hmm. You know, very good friend of mine. I met him. He's a cab driver. I met him and I used to operate the restaurant up there. And spoke with a gentleman just a little over a week ago. He had good conversation, and then I, for whatever reason, I just was calling his phone and couldn't reach him. I ended up speaking with his wife. He and I spoke for at length. He was supposed to call me back, and he never did. Only this morning, I got the shock of my life when his wife sent me a picture of him, and when I saw 1976 to 2021, you know what that was.
Yeah.
And I was shocked, you know? But I understood that he was driving on Sunday. He fell asleep. He crashed into a lamp pole.
Wow.
He and I talk well. You know, he told me, he said, Cleaver boy, I must say, I got to thank God for my wife. He said, I have a praying wife. And if she didn't pray for me because he had COVID, he said he would have been amongst those cab drivers. But after I saw so many cab drivers dying, I decided to call him up and, you know, what I told him, I said, look, man, when you're driving, I said, maybe the government need to make a policy on it, but now that I'm on the radio, I would mention it, you know? What I was saying to him was, look, when these cab drivers transporting tourists around, screw the windows down and just let them use fresh air. Be in the tropics. There's no need to be engaging in all of that air condition, you know, and I believe that could perhaps reduce the amount of spread that we see happening amongst cab drivers. A lot of them drive around in fully air conditioned, you know, that makes no sense to me. But today I just want to offer condolences to Trevor's family, his wife, his kids, and his friends, other cab drivers, and may his soul rest in peace. But it's very bad saying that, you know?
Yeah, well, life is fleeting these days. My mind, while you're on it, let me do this because I have access to the airwaves. My mind ran this morning on Sidney Smith. If you know him, they call him Big Sid. You probably don't know him. But he worked at ZNS for many, 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 many years at the control towers. He used to work at the tower on Blue Hill South, and then he worked at the one on Harold Pond, you know, where Harold Pond's office.
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah, and he's been a lifelong friend of my daddy. And I woke up this morning with him very dearly on my mind and on my heart. So if anybody knows Sid Smith, tell Big Sid, the JR asked about him, all right? So now that we got all of that, you hear what's happening around this place, Cleaver. Where are we on it?
Well, basically, I'll say this, Levon. While we have a illegal migration problem amongst immigrants, that our neighbors from the south, Haiti being our biggest issue, I would have to go on the limb and say that successive government isn't serious about correcting this problem. Let's be straight up. They're not serious about correcting this. You know, you remember the contract days, Yvonne. We all were too young, sure. But we know how it worked. Mm-hmm. You know, persons were recruited, they were vaccinated, they entered, they were documented, they entered the U.S.
Yeah.
Some decided to stay, but the bottom line was they had a full control over who was in and who was out.
Right.
What's wrong with a proper work exchange like that with Haiti over the years?
Nothing.
But this is intentional, mm-hmm. what you see here.
Mm-hmm.
This is intentional because they could have done that. They do it with the expats. How many doctors and Filipinos come in and we have full documentation on them?
Mm-hmm.
But this allowing, tempting persons to come into the country and in most cases they end up as shark bait, this is deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
It is deliberate. Let's accept that. You know, you have the Haitian government. Right there. When we go and our officials meet with the government, what they'd be doing, they'd be smiling and rubbing shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
But the Haitian government are the biggest smilers in all of this because every dollar that enters Haiti is taxed by the Haitian government.
Mm-hmm.
So you think they're going to slow this thing down? When that's a big contributing factor to the economy, they're not going to slow it down. But we play games. You understand there's no time to be playing games. We're in a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
We have COVID.
Mm-hmm.
We should be even more vigilant.
And I'm telling you.
You know who comes
COVID
into the country?
COVID is not the only worry coming out of Haiti. You know,
there's
been the malaria outbreak on more than one occasion in my career.
Yeah.
I remember serving alongside a police officer. I think now ASP. He was a sergeant at the time. And I'm telling you, he and I boarded a vessel together that Thursday afternoon. And that Sunday, the man was in the intensive care fighting for his life because he apparently had contracted malaria on board the Haitian vessel.
Yeah, but there you go again, you know. So there are many factors. Mm-hmm. You know, Haiti happens to have 11 million people. They have just as much millionaires living in Haiti as we have citizens in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Over 400,000 millionaires are living right now in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
So there's money in the country.
Yeah, the economy has money.
You understand? But the bottom line is because of the corruption and because of the slackness over the years, where they migrate to all over the world, whether it be legal or whether it be illegal,
mm-hmm.
and they send remittance back to their family.
Mm-hmm.
So the Haitian government will never slow that down. Have you heard any government mention, any minister of foreign affairs, any minister of immigration speak like how I am speaking? They talk about these superficial type things, but they're not going to slow it down because when you have your brother, when you have someone's brother hop on an unseaworthy craft, make it into the Bahamas, and in 3 months' time, they can WhatsApp a Bahamian passport to them. What do you think is going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
We facilitate this, what we are having here, amongst many immigrants, even politicians.
Mm-hmm.
You have politicians right now who fast-track people citizenship, and then placed them in government corporation a month and two later. This is what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So we are not trying to stop this. Some people want cheap labor. Some people want cheap sex. Some people want some other things.
But sex comes at different prices?
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? We know what's going on the pigeon pee and money for Mabaco. We know what's going on in the pigeon pee and mud for years and for decades.
I always thought sex was free.
You know what I'm saying?
You mean I ain't charging nothing and they getting away?
Yeah.
From today on, I'm not having any more free sex.
The bottom line is, mm-hmm. the bottom line is, Devon, we have been playing too much childish games. You know how angry I am when they're going to tell me we signed on to a treaty, irrespective of whether someone is in the Bahamas legally or illegally, they get free education. Free healthcare. Who's paying for this? Me and you.
Mm-hmm.
It's free to them. Then when you have them living in the bush, where they are debt free, they're bill free, so to speak, you place them at a big advantage over your local citizen because the average Bahamian, when they hit 18, 19, they got to go out on their own
mm-hmm.
and pay their own bills. But when you have these people making just as much money as Bahamians, and they have very little expense, who is more likely to succeed and do well in this country? The immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. That's a given. But they have them here competing with Bahamians salary-wise. They have them here competing with Bahamians job-wise. And at the end of the day, the local economy is being drained. For example, you don't need to have, you don't need to be legal in the Bahamas to send money out of the country to Western Union or MoneyGram. You don't have to be legal to do that. Mm-hmm. Go to MoneyGram, go to Western Union any given day, and you'll see who are the people who are sending all this money out of the country. You don't see Bahamians in most cases.
But you're not arguing that those people in the MoneyGram are illegal, are you?
I'm suggesting that those persons, when you create a facility like that, where you don't have any checkpoints, where somebody legally can go there and send money out of the country, that's an inducement for persons to enter the country illegally.
There are checkpoints. Like you need an ID.
Yeah.
In order to, and I think you need
an ID.
Yeah, but how do you get that if you're illegal?
Huh?
How do you get that if you're illegal?
Come on, man. Devon, man.
I'm asking, how do you get an NIB card if you're illegal?
True corruption.
I think that's the deep end of the pool.
There ain't no deep end of the pool. These people have driver's license, their passport, their voter's card. How do they get these things? How do they get these things? When someone has a Bahamian document and they cannot speak English, what is that?
Corruption.
That's corruption.
Yeah, but you're not saying that the people that occupy or that use the facilitation of money services are people that are steeped in corruption to the point that they're taking false documents in order
I'm
to make
suggesting
these
that when people come to them, when people come to them to send money out,
you ought to have a work permit at least.
You should have something more
than an ID. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
So you could curtail what is happening here. But everybody is making money while the country is going to the dogs.
I don't know factually, but I need to because I'm sure I know of a situation where there is a person that's not Bahamian that sends money out of this country and something about their ID expired. I'm trying to figure out if it was their work permit that expired. There's something that you need to send money out of this country. I don't think it is as easy as a process as you're making it sound.
Go there and see. See for yourself. Mm. I have experienced it. I've seen it. But my only point is we should not have this amount of persons, and I'm not just talking Haitians. I'm talking all immigrants, all nationalities. You shouldn't have them this close into our economy. It isn't helping the country any. The more money go out, you need this money to stay here locally. You need as much money as possible to stay here in this country to circulate throughout the various communities. But the more money is sent out, the less likely for it to circulate. And then you see, like what we have seen over the last two years. There are people online looking for food, looking for sardine, looking for tuna, looking for this type of thing. I mean, over the last 2 years, it was scary to me when I see Bahamians, who you never thought would have been placed in this position, getting sardine, getting mackerel, getting grits. It was like, I heard about these things under the UBP days. But I've never experienced it like what I experienced over the last 2 years because of this pandemic and other things. But bear in mind, many persons were hurting long before
the pandemic.
The pandemic.
And the pandemic drove the 4-inch nail in the coffin.
Exactly.
And 4-inch nail don't let go.
So we have a new government now. Thank God.
Thank God we have a new government now.
Thank God.
Okay.
You understand? Because those clowns and novices... You know, and this is someone speaking who have a rich history in the FNM.
Okay.
You understand? But what I saw over the last 4 years was a bunch of clowns, immature people, persons who were strangers to the truth, who created this perception that they were all striving to become filthy rich. It's the perception, while many suffer.
How did that affect their performance, though, with the pandemic? I mean, what does my perception of wanting to appear filthy rich have to do with the way that I orchestrate or facilitate the policies of my administration or my office?
Arrogance. You're going to see the arrogance. You're going to see the immaturity. You're going to see... them not taking calls, not responding to calls.
Can I still be a good policymaker?
Yeah. let's talk about the policies. No, I'm let's not talk saying, about I mean, the policy. You could be.
Can I not be arrogant and still really good at making policy?
Okay, then. Maybe. Maybe. Far stretch. But then you also have to be a consensus leader.
Okay.
You have to be one who believe in consensus.
Mm-hmm. Some people do. Some people are totalitarian.
But we didn't see. Some people are authoritarian. We didn't see. You saw much consensus leadership over the last 4 years?
Well, the man says that he checked with his cabinet. And
you saw a combinatory. You know, Yvonne, let's be real.
But he did say that comes out of the cabinet.
Let me tell you what I would have experienced. Mm-hmm. Over the last 4 years, it seems to me that no government is big. Mm-hmm. Government is huge. Mm-hmm. But it seemed to me that only a handful of people were running this entire country. Mm. Just a small amount, about 5 or 6. That's how it felt to me.
Mm. That only. So you're saying that what we saw over the last 4 years was not utilitarianism. Mm. You know, the greatest good for the greatest amount of people.
Right. No, we didn't see that.
Okay.
You know that.
Okay.
You know that. Okay. We didn't see that. And it's sad.
But these are all, you realize that these are all different types of leadership styles. You have the totalitarian.
Yes.
You have the utilitarian.
Yes.
You have the authoritarian. And yes. So not because I'm not a consensus building leader means that I'm a bad leader. It just means that maybe my leadership style isn't exactly for the palate of the people around.
If you're not getting a feedback from the majority, mm-hmm. You're a bad leader. Mm-hmm. You need to draw consensus. Whereas it will create cohesiveness, people will not become angry, people will not become disillusioned because they feel some sort of inclusion.
Part of the plan, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? But when you have a few and then they were novices, 80% of them perhaps were first time MPs.
That is the case in this cabinet.
But
first timers.
But when you look at the makeup of this particular government mm-hmm. or cabinet, mm-hmm. you see Alfred Sayers, who would have been there before.
Well, when you look at the particular makeup of this cabinet, that's every person who ran on the ticket almost.
So now, bear in mind,
I don't know how you could look at the makeup of this cabinet. I cannot exactly strategically say, okay, we are going in this direction, so I could see why we put an Alfred Sayers here. But I know that they're going to want to do this legally, and so I understand a Wayne Monroe over here. And then This was kind of like a whosoever will let them come kind of cabinet pick.
No, the last one seems that way.
Man, they got 28 people in the cabinet, Cleaver. 28.
22, and then they have about 7.
28 people are in the cabinet.
What I'm saying is...
They only got 32 seats.
Now, I remember when Mr. Ingram came at 22, mm-hmm. and he told us that those persons were understudy, and he wanted to, but we found out later that the parliament was bastardized. Mm-hmm. Same thing here. Mm-hmm. Now, the only justification that the now prime minister is saying is that he needs all hands
things
on deck.
Things are that bad.
Things are that bad and need all hands on deck.
Right.
But I hope that doesn't be the makeup.
So this should fizzle off within 2 years, is what you're saying?
I'm hoping.
And that in 2 years, this cabinet should come down to about 15.
I am hoping.
And this is where the PLP breaks apart, because when you start taking people out of the cabinet, no one making their tea no more for them. No one.
That's what I was about to say,
them,
too.
No one holding them.
That's what I was about
them.
To say, too. It'll be very people tricky.
You don't just take people out of the cabinet.
So I understand. I understand that, too. But it is huge.
Yeah.
It is huge. But they haven't done anything yet. So to speak.
But I think this is their first crisis to test them right now. This Haitian crisis in Inagua down south is turning into a crisis. It's turning into a diplomatic crisis. Again, where is the Haitian ambassador? Not the Bahamian one. Where the one Haiti sent? Where is he?
Was he still in the country?
I don't know. You see him in the news? I watch the news every day. Listen to it 1,000 times a day. I hear singular. I hear from the pastor them.
Someone could call the.
I hear from
someone
Ruby
could,
them.
Someone could call the Haitian embassy.
I hear from the Haitian ambassador yet, but
confirm.
I equally have not heard from the Bahamian ambassador to Haiti.
Yeah, but then there's
is the situation on the ground there?
I don't think we have a Bahamian ambassador.
What do you mean, man? There is a man appointed as ambassador to Haiti.
Under the former government.
Yeah, well, we
but you know, when yet. Government changed, they're supposed to resign.
Has his resignation been accepted?
I have no idea.
Well, if his resignation hasn't no been idea. Accepted, Cleaver.
Has he, it been? Well, you don't know that.
If it were, there should have been a statement issued.
It should have been. But okay. I mean, they have other ambassadors who already intended.
So we all have to go on the assumption that His Excellency is still in place. We have gotten no other correspondence that he's not in place. Did they not correspond to us that this person is to be appointed ambassador of this place?
No, not as yet. As a matter of fact, no ambassador.
They have.
Who has been appointed ambassador?
Mr. Neely has been appointed almost a year ago.
Yeah, but then my point is,
and if he resigned,
he should have resigned.
And if he did, right, then should we not see new correspondence that says Mr. Neely has been relieved of his ambassadorial
role?
But
I thought based
on... And Cleaver Duncombe is now going to be appointed as ambassador. And even if Cleaver ain't get sworn in yet, we need the man on the ground. Because there's obviously a chaotic situation happening.
And I think it could get worse.
It will get worse.
Like you said, soldiers haven't started defecting as yet. Perhaps.
And they will.
You know?
There is no way you... If unless COVID is a farce, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is no way you come into contact with 1,000 people every day from a place where vaccinations are almost non-existent. All right? Because remember, the Haitian population isn't vaccinating.
Right.
So, and unless COVID is a farce, there is no way you continue to apprehend Haitians at that rate and soldiers don't defect.
Agreed.
It's just impossible. Agreed. First of all, you got to put them on your ship because you can't pull them in the sailboat.
Yeah, that's true. It's a scary situation, especially for persons who reside in Inagua.
And now you're talking about having a blockade, and this is what I understand a blockade to be when we used to do them, right? Mrs. Cavalla did this thing with the HMBS Yellow Elder about 14 years ago, where they would go on these 21-day patrols, and they would literally be anchored at strategic points in the Windward Passage. That is wear and tear on the equipment and on the man. Oh, there ain't no joke. That ain't no joke out there. It is on the flattest calm day. The Windward Passage is blows.
Right.
Are you then suggesting to me that the only plan we have to remedy migrant influx is to abuse Marines? Because that don't make sense to me.
I mean, what don't make sense also is putting them on a plane and spending $1 million+ every year repatriating. Don't make sense.
Now you understand why I'm calling for ambassadors. Why has the Haitian ambassador not got himself to the U.S. ambassador, who is resident in, well, we don't have one, but the chargé, and say, listen to me, here's what we need. This bunch of Bahamas air plane is nonsense. Could I please have a C-130, because that could land in Inagua. And get a C-130 to start carrying these people back. That way we can make one trip or maybe two trips. Bahamas airplane, I think, has a seating capacity of 128.
Yeah, so you have to make many trips.
This is the point
many
I'm making
trips
you.
At the taxpayer's expense.
And now the airports, they are saying that there's a challenge.
That's challenge. That's kids play with the Haitian, you know, with the Haitian, the airport
man,
Navy.
Man, then carry them that's to Haiti kids on a seaplane and put them on the beach. So long as they're in Haiti, that's all I care about.
Exactly. So those persons who went initially and who were denied entry, they had to come back to fly them back to the Bahamas?
Well, I don't know if they had to come back. All I'm saying is you cannot continue to have this storm brewing. I understand somebody's telling me now that the commander of the Southern Command has been down there since Monday. But the first correspondence I've heard from him is this morning on the news. How? What are we doing?
I guess they're waiting. Yes, not a new government in power, so I guess they're waiting. I don't know. Waiting on
instructions. The military is consistent.
Which is true.
Yeah, the repatriation orders are repatriation orders. These things don't change. Anyway, let me read a couple of these text messages. I got to go to break soon. It says, good morning. That was very inconsiderate of you noting the fact that you love breasts and is a supporter of all breasts with no thought that some women have lost their breasts. So, sir, it's okay to not have breasts and still be loved. I want to say this to you. I love your breasts, whether they are with you or not with you, whether they are on or off. You love your breasts and I love your breasts. And the condition of your breasts doesn't change my love for them. How does that sound? All right, let's read a couple more text messages. This one here says, good morning, all. Can someone please remind Fred Mitchell that elections are over and he should be governing for all? Please stop the PLP versus FNM voice notes and dividing Bahamians. Try to unify the country. I imagine that he's only sending in his PLP groups, and if that is the case, it wouldn't matter. Great show as usual. Question, is this fact or fiction? If a person... if people suck breast regularly, it lowers breast cancer. I don't know, but I think happiness is an endorphin, releases endorphins into the brain. And if sucking breast makes you happy, or if it makes her happy, maybe the endorphins in the brain will reduce, what is it, cortisol, which is the stress fat gland. And if the stress fat glands, none of this is scientific, but this is all leaving. So if the stress fat glands go away, then who knows? There may be wonderful benefits. This is great show as usual. I'm super surprised that you are surprised Keith Bell and Wayne Monroe is not doing a good job with the immigration problem. Not that they are not capable or competent people, but Ministry of Immigration was always a mess. Okay. This says, no one want an ambassador to Haiti. You all think someone trying to die? No, but if you are the ambassador, then I say, let's see if we could iron the kinks out. Find out where I can get cheap sex from, please. Well, listen to me. I just tell Cleaver, I'm not giving out anymore. Well, you know, I'm a Church of God boy, so sex ain't really my thing. But whenever I do decide, I'm not giving out any free sex, by the way. Good afternoon, Levin. Cleaver, get out my head. Speak, brother, speak. When I read about them having a problem with the airport in Haiti, I said, fine, we should tell them we're having a problem with Western Union and MoneyGram. All right, this one says, hey, Levin, the second plane load has already landed in Cape Haitian from Inagua, Bahamas Air 737700. All right. One illegal Haitian can make remittance for 10 illegals. Western Union, it needs to be stopped, then they will stop coming. I don't know if that'll fix the problem entirely. Because when Western Union wasn't a big thing, we still had Haitian influx. So
I'm saying you got to impose some sanctions. Mm-hmm. The Bahamas, that is, on the Haitian government. Mm-hmm. There's no time to be playing game because it is affecting your economy, it's affecting your healthcare, your education system, it's affecting basically everything. Mm-hmm. Our way of life. But they go on these diplomatic conferences, and they be giggling.
They just go on field trip. They don't go to do work, man. Come on.
You know, but if I were Minister of Foreign Affairs or Minister of Immigration, it will be a cold day in hell, especially how we have this serious pandemic. Mm-hmm. For anyone who try enters the Bahamas illegally without clearing customs and immigration, it'll be a cold day in hell. Because I will have to be very forceful with dealing with them. That's the bottom line. You enter, it's like someone break into your home, Levon.
I don't take what you're saying lightly. All I'm saying is, I feel like these are the kinds of times when you need your diplomatic corps to be functioning on all cylinders, and we are dropping the ball there. But I think that this is the time when you need your military to be functioning on all cylinders, and I'm not sure if we've cranked the engines there either.
But if you don't have a clear, concise policy, forceful policy, would anything change?
No.
Nothing will change. No. You have to have a clear, and you have to let them know, you come into the country illegally, these are the consequences. And you don't back down.
But you inherit a problem either way, Cleaver. If you put them in prison, you have a problem. If you put them in the detention center, you have a problem. The best thing you could do with them is repatriate them. Either way, they become your problem.
Buddy, they think twice before they go to Cuba. Think three times before they go to Cuba.
Unless you're talking about some sort of demagoguery that I will not, you know,
you can call it what you
co-sign.
Want.
Co-sign.
But you want to address this problem and put an end to it once and for all.
Any other solution makes them your problem. Yeah, are they not your problem in Fox Hill Prison?
They don't necessarily have to go to Fox Hill Prison, you know.
But then where will you put them? Huh? Are they not your problem in the detention center?
If you have a forceful type policy, they will pass the Bahamas like they pass Cuba.
Do you realize that most times we apprehend them, they trying to pass the Bahamas? You realize that, right?
Not no more. Not in recent times. Our dollar, they realize that our dollar is one-to-one.
Okay.
We don't have any income tax in the Bahamas.
Okay.
So it's more easy to come this way than to go to the U.S. where they got to pay.
Then explain the ones in Venezuela, you know, going across the border.
Venezuela is a poor country.
Explain the ones that have sailed into Venezuela failed state and gone up to Mexico trying to get into Texas. Explain those ones. But because they ain't trying to get in the Bahamas. The point I'm making is the goal is in the Bahamas. That's not the goal. The goal is the United States of America.
Not no more.
That is the goal.
Not no more. Mm. For years now.
Okay.
For years now. But I don't want to bash, continue, because we have an immigration problem.
We have a thinking problem.
Okay. We have an execution problem. Mm-hmm. We have a policy problem. Mm-hmm. We don't know what we want to do with illegal immigrants. We don't know what we want to do. Mm. You hear some people saying, "We are one. You are us. We are you are us."
I think
we
are you. I think the people that are calling, and I'm sorry if I call in his name a whole lot. I hear people calling. Luby Georges need to do something. Luby Georges is a private citizen. Where is the Haitian ambassador?
But what will Luby do?
This is my point.
And what could Luby do?
This is the point I make.
Luby is of Haitian descent.
He is also a private citizen.
Yeah, he is also a paper Bahamian.
He is also a private citizen.
He is also a paper Bahamian.
We shouldn't call his name.
The point I make is, especially if he is of Haitian descent.
The point I make is there is a person with a diplomatic appointment who is supposed to deal with these kinds of issues. Where is that man?
But whenever this person is appointed, Levon, find out their policy position.
Mm. Let me read a couple more text messages. Good morning, Levon. Why are we hearing about breast cancer awareness, which affects women, when there was no talk about prostate cancer, which affects men? Seems like we value women more than we do men. I kind of do like women. Tell Wayne Monroe it's time to cow-cock them. I do not approve that message. Morning, Levon. How is it prisoners in Fox Hill Prison can have cell phones in prison because they are making calls all hours of the night? What kind of slackness is going on up there? Well, if you know someone making a phone call, you should call the commissioner of the prisons. Not this one, though, because he's embattled. Wait till his deputy takes the chair. Call him and then see if we could get it sorted out.
But he's gone now, right?
Yeah, he's... Well, not gone. He's embattled at this present time.
But he's getting a salary, though.
I believe he will. Your guest is claiming he was an FNM or supporter and calling that government clowns. He's singing for favor, unlikely to be granted. Okay. And take a break clowning on breast cancer. I'm not clowning on breast cancer. What did I say about that? Didn't I say that breast cancer was a terrible thing and that I wish that it would go away and that we should continue racing for the cure? Mm-hmm. Yeah, how was I clowning on breast cancer? I don't understand that text writer. Morning, Mr. Miller. If my memory serves me correctly, we brought the ambassador and others home after the killing of the Haitian president. Yes, and I'm now saying that, well, I don't think he ever left. He never left the Bahamas. But I'm now saying that he needs to be on the ground. He either needs to be on the ground in Haiti, or he needs to be stitched to the hip of the Minister of Immigration and the Minister of Foreign Affairs. What is Clarence Russell doing?
Clarence Russell is he is the director, right? Isn't he? The director of immigration.
So we brought him back?
I don't know.
Okay. Then the question is, how are we able to bring back all these people that we think are necessary, but we do not have a substantive, and we have not had an on-the-ground ambassador in about 15 months, maybe?
Yeah, because we closed the borders. And
so now we have a situation on our hand, no intel, no information, no way of really knowing what's on the ground. No clear line of communication. Is this how we doing business in the Bahamas? It doesn't make sense to me.
But you want us to respond to that text, sir? Mm-hmm. Because I never said I was an FNM. Mm-hmm. No matter where I go. Whether I go to the PLP, whether I go to the DNA, whether I go to the COI, wherever I go, I will always be FNM. Mm-hmm. When I joined the FNM in 1990, that was after reading the PLP's philosophy, and I read the FNM's philosophy, and I gravitated to that. Okay. Why? Because according to the philosophy of the party, it's a party would believe in freedom of speech, freedom of expression, without fear of victimization, intimidation, and harassment. And it's a party of inclusion. Mm-hmm. No one can deny that Cleaver Duncombe hasn't enjoyed this freedom of speech and freedom of expression as an activist. Mm-hmm. But many persons who came in recent time, they didn't even understand the philosophy. So if they give you 10 things and you disagree with eight, you disagree with two. Mm-hmm. As far as they're concerned, you're not FNM.
Who is the body? Whether you are PLP or FNM, as long as you're FN Bahamian, you should be able to do whatever you want.
Exactly.
Alan, then let's go to the break. We got to go to the break. Don't move. I've got about 3 minutes of show left. I'll be back.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S.
Hey, did you find the show interesting? Do you want to be a part of the conversation? Well, sponsor Unleashed today. Call 302-2304 or 302-2375 to see which package is right for you. Join Layvon Miller as he ignites the passion of the next generation by bridging the gap with engaging conversations and innovative ideas. Take action and sponsor Unleashed today at 302-2304 or 302-2375 and be unleashed.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. Levin Miller here. I'm Unleashed on your radio. That means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. Let me see if I can squeeze in one more text message. This one here says, I'm pretty sure a few years ago there was a story about a recently landed illegal found with Bahamian documents or trying to get more or something like that. The Haitian ambassador was sent back after some connections to corruption. Okay. I really don't want to hear about breast cancer awareness, to be honest, because I don't really care. Well, I apologize you feel that way. This is going to be a rough month for you then. Please inform the DPM that you can't ask the Haitian who just risked their lives coming here if they are ready to return as though they have a choice. The new goal is Quebec, Canada, where they speak French and they can just walk across the border and get a check, free rent and food from Canadians because they are so nice. Okay. This one here says, the Bahamian embassy in Port-au-Prince was closed following the assassination July 14 of the president. I don't live in a vacuum. I know the Haitian president was assassinated. I know that we moved our diplomatic office because of that. I'm saying now, though, that that was one crisis. We dealt with that. This is a new crisis. We have got to deal with this. The government in insular, you know, you don't get to have one single problem at a time. I think that's what the last guys didn't realize. You don't get to deal with one problem per day. Governance works this way. While the grass grows, you can't allow the cows to die. So you got to figure out the formula to feed the cows enough so that you could get the cow manure to feed the grass enough so that you could have the grass to feed the cow. You see how that works?
Yes.
And so when you say things to me like, oh, the office was closed because of the assassination, oh, whoopity-doo. And they've had a hurricane and an earthquake. Yes, yeah. Now we have a new crisis. What is the plan? And that is what people in public office ought to aspire to every day. Clevo, we got 1 minute.
You know, I just want to thank you for the opportunity. You know,
no problem. I appreciate having you.
You know, over the last several days, we've been noticing basically every day, sometimes twice a day, you see black men killing black men.
Mm-hmm.
Murder, you know. The time has come, you know, we got to really get into these communities,
mm-hmm.
train these young men how to deal with conflict resolution. It's unfortunate that we have to deal with this at their late stage in the game when we're supposed to be dealing with it for the first 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
When they have difficulties relating to their peers.
Mm-hmm.
We wait until they get old and gray, then we try to teach them how to have conflict resolution, how to deal with conflicts. But what we see, this mayhem and this bloodshed that is approaching the horse's bridle, let's see how best we could slow this thing down, brothers, man. Let's see. You know, we are losing too much young men. I just looked at my phone just now, and I saw someone got gunned down Muffalo World.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, too much. It seems to be like it's a deliberate extermination of a particular race.
I want to do a show that suggests that the black man is the most hunted species on the planet and is the super minority of the world. But that's not today's show. Anyway, I want to say a special tribute to the Reverend Timothy Stewart. He's being laid to rest today. I'm sure he's a man whose life, the life he lived, has spoken for him. And you know, I say it every Friday, man. It's Friday. Y'all, please, for Christ's sake. Not for my sake. For Christ's sake. Don't kill nobody. More important than that, make sure nobody don't kill you. And if you do that, I'll see you back here on Monday. I'm Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. They've got news. That's now.
Hands to the heavens. No man, no weapon.